Good morning, everybody. I think I was just here in November, so I don't think I need to be... I hope you haven't forgotten me in that short of time. Anyways, very glad to be with you again today. Thank you for the invitation and the privilege of being able to address everybody here. As I prayed about what to speak about today, wasn't sure which direction to go. And so I was asking the Lord to make it clear to me what to share with. There's a number of subjects that I do love to speak about. And this is one today. But there was others there that I also wanted to speak about too. But what the Lord has laid on my heart, I would say, is not speaking to the church or to the many outreaches or activities of the church, but I want to speak to you. You individually. Myself. Are we up on the screen there? There we go. We often do things, very good things, through our churches. That's wonderful. But those things need to be based in our own prayers, in our own witnessing, not just to come here to pray. That's wonderful. But it should be built upon the foundation of our prayer time, of our personal study of the Word of God, and as we would reach out to others, our friends and neighbors. Then together we come collectively as a church to encourage each other, to lift each other up, and to share the Word of God. I was just reminded of this quote. It's not actually what I want to speak about, but it's part of it. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And who would have thought that he wrote this before he ever knew that he would have been a martyr? You would think he wrote it after his death that he wrote this, but he didn't. Jim Elliot wrote this before he knew that he was going to soon be a martyr. But what wise words. And so today, as I want to speak to myself first, I want to remind myself and you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, today, what I speak about may make you a little uncomfortable, because it makes me uncomfortable. So don't become uncomfortable because of me, although I may offer this as a challenge to you. But we want to be, if we're going to be uncomfortable, it's because the Holy Spirit is convicting us, convicting me. And even as I drove here today, my heart was a mix of emotions as I consider what is going on in this world right now and what we need. You know, there's so many people glued to the TV, glued to their phones. What in the world is going on? Who knows what this week will hold? Oh, God does. And there's so much talk and chatter and all these commentaries, and not just by the media, and not just by our neighbors, but ourselves. A friend of mine phoned me from another province yesterday, and soon, what are we talking about? The tariffs. I had to stop the conversation and remind myself, actually, because I get into it just as much as anybody else. I got lots of opinions, I'm sad to say. But, you know, I had to stop and say, you know, if we lived in a perfect, peaceful world, if there was no wars in the world, if there was no disasters in the world, if there was nobody that went hungry in the world, you know what? We would still one day die. We would still one day face God as judge. What do we need? We need the Word of God. We need God's Word of salvation, because that's what matters. Yes, it would be nice if there was no wars. I'm all for that. Yes, it would be nice if there was nobody going to bed hungry. I'm all for that. But they would still die in their sins if they did not know about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says this, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." Now, does anybody doubt what day we are living in? We are living in the last days. The one word that jumps out on me, I highlighted here, irreconcilable. You know, there's different sides. We're so polarized. You would think we'd be able to sit down, talk it over, say sorry, make amends, and we'd live peacefully. What I read in the news is people are irreconcilable. In Canada, we are so divided. In the world, we are so divided. We are so irreconcilable. Nothing is able to bring us back together. So we are living in the last days. We need to be aware of this. In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Do I understand all of Revelation? I do not. But I can understand certain things, that our Lord is soon returning, that there is terrible times coming upon this world, but our God reigns. And that's what we need to be trusting in. We need to be obedient to his word. And we are thankful that God is long-suffering. In one sense, I'm praying, "Lord, come quickly. Lord, come." On the other side, I say, "Lord, just wait. I have loved ones that are not saved. I have loved ones that are refusing God's mercy, his salvation." What should we be like? What should we be doing? We will all take our last breath. All of our stuff will be destroyed. Second Corinthians 4:18 says this, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Just realize that everything you see around us is temporal, including my body. It's temporal. Our cars in the parking lot, our homes, it's all temporal. But the things we do not see are eternal. You know, as I go to many funerals, even have the privilege of speaking at some funerals, as I consider these things, I listen to people and they give their eulogy. And I know they're just maybe trying to bring everybody into the person's life and let them know. But oftentimes they are talking about their hobbies. Oh, they love to go on a cruise. Oh, they love to do this. Or they love to work with wood or whatever it is. And I'm not against any of those things. But trust me, at my funeral, I don't want people talking about my hobbies that are going to die with me. I want them talking about my Savior. I want them talking about where I am. I want them talking about where they can go also. We need to be sharing the word of God. This picture here, I was scrolling through Facebook a couple years ago. Sadly, I still do it. But I was scrolling through, and a picture so jumped out at me, I quickly scrolled past it. And then I went back to it. And actually, I've never been able to find it again. But it was a picture of people in a lake. And their heads are above the lake, but their heads, their mouths are screaming. Why? Because it's the lake of fire. I can tell you, I cried. Knowing that people that I know will one day be in the lake of fire. You know, if we could spend 5 minutes in heaven, how would that change our lives? I think it would change our priorities. No longer would we be caught up in just gaining things of this world. No longer would we be holding tight to our wallets. No longer would we be just looking for our next vacation. No longer would we be taking offense at all these things. We'd be focused on heaven. We'd be focused on Christ. We'd be focused on bringing as many people with us that we could. But what if we could spend 5 minutes in hell? Would that change us? I think it would. I think it would change the way I think if I could spend 5 minutes in hell. Lord, help us. I like engineering, YouTube clips, aircraft investigations are one of my favorite. How these men find a needle in a haystack is amazing to me. And so I watched this one here about the Swiss Air flight that went down off of Peggy's Cove near Halifax. So when I was in Halifax, I went to visit the site here. And this is the memorial there. When I zoom in here, what does it say there? They have been joined to the sea and the sky. Isn't that nice? It's a lie. It's a lie. They have gone out into eternity. And they are either with their Savior in heaven or they're in eternal punishment. Why do I tell you this? We need to be sober. We need to be truthful. We need to be warning people. You know, the world is full of all these nice little sayings and things. It'll all work out. And, oh, he was a good man. And we need to preach the truth from the Word of God. That's what matters. As I was driving here today, I seen a billboard. I think it was for a church. I really couldn't quite figure it out. But it wrote as three principles that it's based on. And one of them is justice. Let me tell you, I don't want justice for myself. If I got justice for myself, I would be in hell because that's what I deserve. That's why we need to preach the word of God. We need to preach repentance. We need to preach salvation through Jesus Christ. We need to preach forgiveness that we can have eternal life. This is good news. I'm sorry if I'm coming across in a sharp, angry way. I don't mean it, but that's the truth. We need to be preaching the good news that Christ died for sinners. That's good news. That's not an accusation. That's good news that Christ died for sinners. 1 minute after you die, there will be no hecklers, no more cowards, no more non-believers, no agnostics, no atheists. They might wish it was true, but it is not. They will know that God is boss, all-powerful, all-knowing. Those who did not receive God's offer of salvation will be utterly lost. How many of us here have loved ones that have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that are not following the Lord? I know for most people, you don't have to go far down the family tree before you see somebody that's doing this to God. They're refusing God's mercy. Let me ask myself, are our knees calloused Is the carpet beside our bed or wherever you pray, is it worn out? Or do we just have a quick prayer in the morning, thank you, Lord, help me, bless my family, and keep on going? Or are we in great burden for the lost? Do we care for those who will one day face an all-knowing, holy, and righteous God in their sin with no defense? There's a big push to tone down the gospel. Talk to people about God's love. We don't need to talk about hell. Just talk about love. That's all they really need to hear. We need to speak the truth. We need to tell them what God says, not what we feel. We need to tell them the truth. There is no salvation without needing a Savior. There is no need of a Savior unless we point out to them our sins, our need of a Savior. We must be clear in the gospel. 1 Timothy 1:15, not this one, but 1 Timothy 1 says, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to be our friend? No, to save sinners. Of course he is our friend, but he came to rescue us, to save us. This verse here, as I was reading it recently, maybe a few years ago, but that's recent for me, it kind of hit me here. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. What is the greatest harvest of the world? Is it Canada's wheat? Is it all of our crops? Is it the fish? Is it the trees? What's the greatest harvest? What does the Lord say? The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Do you think God is that concerned about our wheat? Well, he is. He makes it grow. Do you think he's that concerned about our trees? Well, he is. He makes them grow. But what is God interested in? What did he send his son here for? To seek and to save the lost. He came to bear the sins of the world. This is the greatest harvest. And back to this verse. Are we sleeping in harvest? That's the question to myself. Now, I don't have a problem sharing the gospel on board the ships, because that's what I do. I enjoy it. I'm probably bold in it. Not always the wisest, I think, but I don't have a problem with doing it. But what about the others around? What about my neighbors? What about the person in the lineup behind me? What about the person who sits on the plane beside me? What about those that I've interacted with so many years and I've never shared the gospel? Oh, maybe at my funeral, if they come, they will maybe say, he was a good man, he went to heaven. Well, yes, I am going to heaven. But have they ever understood why I'm going to heaven? Not because of myself. Honestly, when I look around what's happening in the world right now, you know what I say? This is harvest time. When things are affluent and everything's going well and people are healthy and rich and everything's going well, you know what people do? They ignore God. Well, I'm guilty of that too. When are we drawn to our knees? Well, when there's problems. We got problems in Canada. We got problems in the world. It should draw us to our knees, because this is harvest time. I've seen it, and Rob could maybe agree, or maybe he's seen it also, but on the ships during COVID, the sailors were much more, I'd say not much more, but they were definitely more open to the gospel. And when things got better, you know what they were open to? Walmart. That's what they wanted to run to. They wanted life to get back to normal and just spend and enjoy and have a nice life. Of course, we don't blame them. But God often brings what we call earthquakes to shake us, to wake us up to the truth, so that we don't go on and just continuing in ignorance and not following the Lord. John 4:35 says, do you not say there are yet 4 months? And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. And Matthew 7:13 reminds us, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way that is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. I wish it was the broad road that led to heaven. I wish it was many that were leading to heaven. But it tells us the broad road is the main road that people are on that lead to hell. Let's be a witness to those around us. I was sharing a gospel message with young children from this chapter of Jonah, but it hit me. This is about me. You see, it says in Jonah 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know how I realize this is about me? The Lord has told me many times through his word and through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, speak to that person about the gospel. You know what I did? I ran. I went the other direction. I sealed my lips. I blocked it out of my mind because I was afraid to share the gospel. And then what does it say in Jonah 3? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Praise the Lord. Well, you know where I see myself here? I see myself as disobeying God. But I also see this as God giving me a second chance. God giving us a second chance. If you have been silent in your school, in your workplace, with your family, you think they don't want to listen, they don't want to hear. Well, that is true of some. But there are many in the world that are searching. They know something's wrong. Maybe they have a sickness. Maybe they have a disease. Or maybe they've lost a loved one and they're wondering, what is this world all about? And they don't even know who to turn to. And maybe they won't turn to me because I've never shared it with them. We had good news at our church there at Christmas time. We had a big, nice Christmas dinner, and a family came out that had come to our Sunday school for years. And we hadn't seen them for many years. And we'd totally lose contact with them. But they came. And as I sat with them at their table afterwards, they listened. All the family listened to me share the gospel with them and put questions out to me. We loved it. Well, last night we started Christianity Explored program. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Maybe a little similar to Alpha, but Christianity Explored, an eight-week program. We started that with them last night. They're eager to hear what God has to say. We're so thankful for that. So God has given us, in his mercy, a second chance. And people have repented and turned to him. As I said, I'm not talking to your church here. I'm not talking to your mission board. I'm talking to each of us individually. What are we doing to share the gospel? We know the story of the wise and foolish builder. The one who hears and obeys, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. 2 Corinthians 5, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. You know how we used to judge other people? Maybe we still do, but we would judge other people. We judge it on our human view. We need to stop seeing others through our own eyes, but through the eyes of the Lord. At one time, we thought Christ, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. What a wonderful privilege and responsibility that we have to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is flying by here. How many remember this man here? Gives away our age. He had a really interesting show, and he'd go around and interview all these rich people, really rich people, and he had a interesting British accent. It made him sound rich just in his accent there. And what was he talking about? All the pleasures of this world. Well, I want to tell you, this is a castle. And this is a castle that could have been something that this man had gone to check out. But that's not what this picture is about. This is the castle of a man named Stud, Mr. Stud. This goes back to the late 1800s. How many have heard of C.T. Stud? Probably many of you have heard of C.T. Stud. This was his father's mansion. His father was a very, very wealthy man. And he came back to England and he built this huge palace here. And you know what he wanted to do? Party, party, party. That's all it was for. It had a huge ballroom inside of it. And so that they could have big parties and enjoy life to the fullest. Well, through a conversation and a challenge through somebody else, he went to hear a preacher in London. And as soon as he went to hear that preacher, he knew God was speaking to him about his sins. And soon after, he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he did with this beautiful castle? That beautiful ballroom for parties? He went out and invited in all the poor people from the area, invited them in, and he would bring preachers out from London to share the gospel with them. Isn't that a good use of your time? Isn't that a good use of his money? Bring all these people in. And he would bring them in and they would share the gospel with him. And I believe it was only 2 years later that this man passed away. If he had done this to Christ and said, no, I want the parties of this world, he would have only had 2 years and then eternity in hell. But thank God, someone bravely dragged him to hear this gospel preacher. I believe it was Mr. Moody, but dragged him there almost. Challenged him, dragged him there, and he came and he heard, and God changed his life, changed his purpose. He repented of his sins and he trusted in Christ, and he wanted to tell others. And then the man tried to tell his children. His children were so sick of hearing him, they would avoid him. Big house, easy to avoid your dad in a big house like that. Maybe not in my house, but in this one, easy to avoid. But they too came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And C.T. Studd went off to China with a China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor. And then later he went to India, where his dad has made his money. And then later he went to Africa. And he says this, some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bells. He says, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. That was his goal. And when he turned 25, he received this huge inheritance. Because his father had already passed away. He received a huge inheritance. You know what he did with it? He gave it all away. Oh yeah, he maybe keep a little for himself. No, he didn't do that. He wanted to trust in the Lord. He wanted to put his complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out. He says many times they were broke. But they considered that a sacrifice to God. That depending upon God, that he would let them serve him. What could he say? No sacrifice is too great for the one who died for me, that I might have eternal life. Time is gone. I'll stop there. But I want to leave that challenge with you. Open your mouth. We can talk about many things, but open your mouth and tell people of the hope that lies within you. Share with them how they too can have eternal life. Be prepared. Carry tracts in your pocket, Gospels of John, a Bible, whatever it is. Open your home to them. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of my comfort zone and share the gospel. Because 100 years from now, or much, much less, it's the only thing that will matter. May the Lord bless you and use you and encourage you. It's the most encouraging thing. Corrie ten Boom said, when I get to heaven, I hope someone comes up to me and says, you're the one who invited me here. Well, we know it was actually the Lord, but the Lord allowed Corrie to be an ambassador, a representative of God. The Lord blesses. Should I close in prayer? Yeah. Lord, we thank you that you have put us into such a privileged position, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this ministry of reconciliation. And we pray, Lord, that you would faithfully, that you would be help us to be faithful to your word and the truth. Help us to see the great need around us. There's no shortage of need. Bless each one here, Lord. Bless this church, we pray. And all those that have come to worship you, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.